Some businesses are pushing back on the Seattle City Council's proposed employee head tax to pay for affordable housing and social services. Is there a better way to solve the city's affordability crisis? I spoke to Saul Spady of the Dick's Drive-In Spady family. Saul's not in the hamburger business himself. He heads an ad agency called Creative Empowerment. But Saul explained why he and some other local businesses in the city oppose this employee head tax.
We're a little discouraged by the city's ability to spend its money wisely. I mean, we could say the Seattle streetcar, or we could say bike paths. And I think we all kind of have a perspective that the city promises a lot and delivers very little sometimes.
And would you say the same about the city's progress on homelessness?
I would say the city has doubled its spending and homelessness has increased in that time period. Previously, the 10-year plan to end homelessness didn't make a dent and ended up being incredibly inflexible when we saw a great rise in family homelessness during the recession, because we were, of course, in the middle of the 10-year plan to end homelessness, and you couldn't change that. And so, yeah, I think the city leaves a lot to be desired. You know, I'll make a great example of, I worked when I was on the board of Mary's Place on a program called No Child Sleeps Outside that we drove forward with Dick's Drive-Ins, where we got business communities to support Mary's Place to try to build that emergency family shelter that the 10-year plan to end homelessness didn't have revenue for. And we were able to, in the last 4 years, go from 100 to 700 shelter beds. And Mary's Place has gone to about, I think like $5 to $8 million a year charity. And, you know, 700 shelter beds for $8 million a year is a good investment. And then the city comes along and they say they need $75 million a year. And I know it's going to go to a couple different things, but we're going to get 360 emergency shelter beds at the end of 5 years of $75 million a year. I think it's really fair for the business community to say, hey, you've doubled spending in 2 years and haven't made progress. Let's think of a wiser way to do this.
What is your alternative that Dick's Drive-In and some others are supporting?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you had a chance to read it, there was an op-ed written by my sister, the vice president of Dick's Drive-In, alongside Howard S. Wright and Rachel of Rachel's Ginger Beer, and they proposed doing tax credits. So not saying, you know, if you're going to do this tax and we need this $75 million, let's let the business community, these 600, you know, business owners who know how to make a dollar go a mile, and let them directly invest that into the city-approved charities, as well as maybe donate land the way that Amazon did for Mary's Place. I have a hard time believing that, you know, the city can build 5 stories of co-housing at a cheaper rate than Amazon can into its buildings. And instead of seeing Amazon stop building a tower, let's see them build 4 more towers with 4 more stories of co-housing for different shelters.
What does Amazon say about that?
I can't speak for Amazon, but I can definitely say that Amazon is extremely proud to support Mary's Place. I think they're really grateful to be able to give Fair Start free rental space to run their restaurants and to help people get out of homelessness. I bet you Amazon would much rather build buildings where they donate a couple floors and help an organization like Mary's Place and really see those dollars go a long way than give $20 million to the city of Seattle and see them get lost in a bureaucratic bog.
So are you saying in return for a city council no vote on this head tax, you would present a promise from a list of local businesses that would guarantee they'll voluntarily going to?
I'm not saying that at all.
So how would we?
So Mike O'Brien got really caught up in this fact. They're lawmakers. Lawmakers can make laws. I'm saying you can look at other cities that have done tax credits, do a tax credit. Let's say if you're given a $20 million tax bill, Amazon will then have to have donated $20 million worth of land, services, and cash. And if I did it correctly, I'd do a one-to-one rate because I believe that these charities are going to be significantly more effective with this money than City Hall will be. And so I guess the compromise here isn't saying let the businesses do it out of the goodness of their heart. And I'll go on a fact saying I don't think a jobs tax is a good idea in the city. But I really don't think giving $75 million to a city hall that has shown itself ineffective to being fair to budgets and results is a good idea.
In the bigger picture here, Saul, the city council estimates that Amazon will pay about $20 million a year if this head tax went through. The company, of course, makes much more than that in profit in Amazon's case. Why shouldn't some of these big companies pay more to help the city cope with the growth they are causing?
One, growth is not a bad thing. Growth is actually very important. It allows us all to have jobs because there's a lot of people here. Millennials who have a hard time affording to live in the city can drive Ubers, or we can, you know, sometimes if we break rules, rent our apartments out on Airbnb. I think we have to ask a little more serious questions, like, why don't we have drug treatment for everyone who wants it? Why is it harder to build emergency shelter and get it available quickly to the people who need it? We definitely need mental health services. And honestly, when I go to like high density housing, having the city be a partner in letting developers build it instead of just saying that only the city has a right to do that. You know, like let's take Dick's, for example. It's a high volume, low margin business. If you make us pay more for our employees, we're going to have to choose between a more efficient workforce, whether we stay in the city of Seattle, or whether we give to philanthropy. And I guess the question for everyone in the city of Seattle to ask ourselves on the head tax is, do we trust the city to spend this money efficiently? And I think the reason you're seeing people, regular citizens, rise up and start acting very similarly to how a council member has acted for the last 4 years, they're angry and they don't see a city council that's accountable in any way. But, you know, maybe we'll see the answer in 2019 when six of them are up for vote.
Saul Spady, president of Creative Empowerment, a local ad agency that represents Dick's Drive-In. You may recognize his name as the grandson of Dick's co-founder, Dick Spady. Do you have questions about Seattle's proposed head tax? If so, send us an email, record@kuow.org, record@kuow.org. We'll get that to our newsroom and see if we can get you an answer. Saul Spady, thank you.
Thank you very much. It was wonderful to be here.
So you just heard Saul Spady's alternative to a proposed Seattle employee head tax. Instead of taxing big Seattle businesses on the jobs they create, give those businesses a tax credit for donating directly to charities that serve the homeless. A tax credit for building low-income housing. That way you don't discourage businesses from hiring and you don't waste the money in a big city bureaucracy. Is that a better idea? Let's ask Professor Jacob Vigdor now, public policy professor, University of Washington. He studies this stuff. Professor, what do you think of that idea? Let the private sector donate money more efficiently.
Well, I think you go back to something that Sam said in that interview about spending the money more wisely. And I think that there's a case to be made that we need to take a hard look in this city about whether we're spending money wisely. I think back, Bob Haban wrote a book a couple decades ago called Hard Head, Soft Heart. And the idea was we should have compassion for people who need our assistance, but we need to be very hard-headed and analytical about whether we're doing that in the best way. I am a little bit skeptical of the notion that you could have businesses just sort of donating wherever they thought was a good place to put their money and have that result in greater wisdom in spending and greater effectiveness.
Why not? You heard his argument. It's a big city bureaucracy. They're inefficient. They haven't spent the money well so far.
Yeah, and if you're sort of a free market kind of person, you might think, well, the magic of the marketplace will sort of avoid all these problems. I'm not so sure. I have to say that I think, you know, what we want is we want to have a system where we're looking at data and we're thinking very carefully about has a particular program or a particular service demonstrated itself to be effective. And I think that having a centralized approach makes sense for that. I think that it's fair to say that the centralized approach we currently have is not doing all that great. But I don't think we want to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
So you think it would be too uncoordinated for a bunch of different businesses to donate directly to a bunch of different charities and get tax credits for it? The city can be, you believe in the city, that the city can be more coordinated, more targeted, more efficient?
I think that we need to demand as citizens that our government, and it's not just the city of Seattle's problem, this is a regional problem.
Yeah.
So we need to demand a more coordinated, more analytical approach to the problem. I think the degree to which our approach is not coordinated between Seattle and King County and some of the other government agencies, that's part of the problem. And sort of going more decentralized in terms of having lots of different businesses decide, make their own individual decisions, I don't know that that's going to be an effective approach to the problem.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about the alternative, the proposed head tax. Before I get there, do you even think the city needs more money to solve the housing and affordability and homeless problem?
I think there's a pretty good case to be made that the city could be doing a better job of spending current resources more wisely. But then take that to the logical extreme. Suppose that we are spending each of the dollars we have as wisely as possible. Does that solve the problem? I think it's reasonable to conclude that we may very well need more money if we're going to completely solve this problem.
Yeah, depending on how we define the problem. And that's a separate conversation.
Sure.
But we're talking about tax policy in a way now. And I want to know what you think of the alternative, which is a head tax on every employee of big grossing Seattle businesses.
I think there's a motivation for this, which is to say these businesses are profitable. They have grown, and in their growth, they have contributed to these problems. Now, the trouble I have with the tax is that it's not a tax on profits. It's a tax on employment. The more that you spend in payroll, the greater your tax bill will be. It isn't really designed to be a tax on businesses, and it gives businesses a pretty easy way to avoid the tax, which is just to say, I'm going to cut back on my employment in the city, or I'm going to take other types of actions that allow me to evade this tax. Local governments, most of American history, have relied on one tax more than any other. It's the property tax, for the simple reason that property can't get up and walk away. Jobs can't.
But listeners' heads can explode who are complaining about the already high property tax burden on them. We hear from them all the time right here on this show.
And I think that's a big part of the political story of why the city is looking for other sources of revenue here. I think there is a general sense that we are kind of getting tired of these tax increases, some of which are coming from the state and not any kind of local government. So the employee hours tax is a tax that the city council could pass without going to the voters. And I think that explains part of its appeal.
Finally, would you advocate, as a professor of public policy, would you advocate some kind of profit tax, some kind of income tax?
I think of all the problems that we have with taxation in Washington State, the lack of income taxation is number one. And I think that if you wanted to take a longer run view of this and ask the question, how do we put ourselves on the pathway to the best Washington State, you have to be thinking of a pathway to address the lack of an income tax. And I worry that what we're doing in Seattle right now is sort of agitating an anti-tax coalition that could come back to haunt us in the future.
But what if that income tax sends companies like Amazon somewhere else, HQ2?
Well, last time I checked, a lot of those HQ2 finalists have income taxes of their own. So I don't know that it's they're not just focusing on Texas and Tennessee and the states without income taxes. Last time I checked, Massachusetts has one, Virginia, Maryland, North Carolina. You know, we can compete in other ways.
Okay, we'll see how that goes. Professor Jacob Vigdor teaches public policy, studies these tax policy questions at the University of Washington. Thanks a lot, Professor.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we're continuing to follow the head tax, homelessness, affordability in Seattle. So what question do you have about these issues? Email us. You ask, we answer. The email address is record@kuow.org. Again, record@kuow.org.